armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The pump. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. It's about damn time that they named a battleship after the greatest game ever invented, the American game.
Community
USS Cooperstown.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? The picture you're seeing right there is the USS Cooperstown. It is technically a Freedom Class littoral combat ship, and they named it after Cooperstown, New York, to honor the many, many veterans who have played the game of baseball. 70 Hall of Famers, by the way. 70 Hall of Famers have served in one way or the other in the U.S. military, and many of them during wartime. We go over that quite a bit throughout the year. We always do it on our Veterans Day show, and we do touch on it as well on the Memorial Day show, but I thought that was really, really cool. Bit of sad news gonna change the picture now, but a bit of sad news from Major League Baseball. Vita Blue is, I think he's kind of forgotten on how great of a pitcher this guy was in the 1970s. Vita Blue is it, man. I mean, Vita Blue, they three consecutive World Series with the Oakland Athletics. In 72, 73, and 74. He was a six-time All-Star. He was the AL MVP, which doesn't happen often for pitchers. He's the American League MVP in 1971, along with the Cy Young and ERA leader. Pitched a no-hitter in 1970 and can pitch a combined no-hitter 5 years later in September of 75. And just an incredible, incredible player. Now, it's well documented that he had some drug issues and that derailed the end of his career. He became a very average pitcher at that point. But there was a point in time for about, we'll say, 7 to 8, maybe even 9 years where Vita Blue was an excellent. 209 wins is nothing to sneeze about. ERA of 3.27. And once again, all the other accolades I laid out there, the three-time World Series champion, six-time All-Star, AL MVP, AL Cy Young Award winner. One of the all-time greats. He is in the Oakland A's Hall of Fame. And he's just missed the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Some folks would argue for him. He's a little before my time, so I didn't watch him pitch. But everything I've ever heard about him, just a nasty, nasty customer. And very, very well thought of in the lore of baseball fans from the 1970s. So those are the two main things that I wanted to jump off with. And then, of course, we've also got news from the Braves front. Travis d'Arnaud is back off the IL. They'll bring him back tomorrow. And how about Mage? Mage wins the Kentucky Derby. And a quick funny story about that. I don't know, an hour or so before the race, 4:30-ish Eastern time. I don't know, somewhere in that neighborhood. Maybe 5:30 Eastern time. It was a little over an hour. I guess the race didn't really go off until 7, so maybe a couple hours before the race. I'm going through. Like, you know, you always bet and you always lose. You always bet and you always lose. And I listened to a couple of folks give their predictions. And I have to give the guys credit on CBS Sports HQ. This is where I got it from, was them. And they're big horse guys, and they were laying out all the reasons why it was Mage, and then what was the other one? Angel of Empire. And then there was a couple of others they were throwing out there. But they repeatedly said Mage, so I looked it up. I was like, man, that is really damn close to McGee. It's spelled M-A-G-E. If you add one more E on there, you got my last name. And I was like, do you not throw something on there? Are you not going to be kicking yourself in the keister because you didn't bet on something this on the nose? What the hell? I'll go ahead and throw. And I didn't win much off of it. Enough to where whatever the odds were, I won like right around $200. So I $15, I think I put on it somewhere in that neighborhood. And then I put a couple other bucks on Angel of Empire just because I thought it was a cool ass name. And I don't even remember. I think there's a third one that I just put to finish in the top five. So I had four total bets because I had Mage in the top five, Mage to win, and then the other two. And when Mage won, I could not believe it. If you watched the actual race, there wasn't much mention of Mage until the very, very end. So I was under the impression that Mage was way in the back somewhere, like in the middle of the pack. And then at the very end, you hear the broadcaster say, and Mage is going to hold on and win. I was like, where the hell did that come from? Because before the last time that he had mentioned Mage, he had mentioned middle of the pack coming up. So I'm looking at these horses, and I thought it was one of the ones about three or four lengths back. And I was like, well, I think she's going to finish in the top five. Cool. And then he said, Mage wins. So that's item number one on how he blew the call. The other thing was, if you get an opportunity to call the Kentucky Derby as the play-by-play, horse-by-horse, gallop-by-gallop, whatever you want to call that guy, how do you not use the famous, and down the stretch they come? How do you not use that? He said something to the effect of, and they're on the back stretch or something like that. And I'm like, oh, this guy's a dud. And then he really ticked me off because I was happy in the end because Mage won the race. I was like, how do you not use, and down the stretch they come? That's the greatest line of any play-by-play guy. That's the line. We could never use that in any other sport. That's the line, and he blew the line. What are you going to do? Anyways, that's what I got with that. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, down the stretch we'll come. Tones is on the way, top of the hour. And we're going to get to a lot of Braves talk here in a bit. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Thing about?
Well, maybe I just think you're being a little hard on her.
Well, that's nice. But right now I am too angry to pretend to give a crap about what you think.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
No, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m. Drive time. Cute evening.
You're in Braves Country.
Welcome back, Braves Country, today. And we're going to talk a little Braves baseball. We're going to talk a little about the Major League Baseball in general, but also the National League East, which... you can see the standings over my shoulder. Atlanta Braves, 7 games in front of the Mets, 7 games in front of the Marlins, who, by the way, they deployed their entire bullpen the last 2 days to get one win in Chicago. So they got the win, but they did that, and it was a response to the sweep that they took down in Miami to Atlanta, and then they lost the close game on Friday. Long story short, they lost another close game on Saturday. Then they had to go to extra innings on Sunday. Their bullpen is spent, and now they're heading out west. I think it's Arizona tonight. We'll get into all the matchups here in a second. But anyways, that's the trickle-down effect that you can have. And look, it's great that we have this 7-game lead, and it is fun, and it kind of reminds you of the old days when the Braves would get out and just run away from the division. We got a long way to go, though. We got a long way to go. What are we, 35 games into the season? And there's been a lot of ups and downs already. And you think about that, 35 games in the season, you're not even at the quarter pole yet. You're not even at the quarter pole yet. And so we still have, what is that, 137 games left? No, 127 games left. 127 games left. So long way to go, but it's looking good. And, of course, the big news that came out this morning is that Travis d'Arnaud is back. He's been reinstated. Chadwick Tromp has been sent down to AAA. So that's big news, because we get Travis back, and hopefully all's right. He's had 4 concussions. That's a rough go of it. You do worry about his mental health just in general when you're talking about getting your egg scrambled that many times. Now, the good thing is it's not 4 concussions in one season. They're not back to back to back. They're spread over a long period of time. And that's the positive thing right now. But it's going to be something they're going to keep an eye on, and it wouldn't take much to send him back on the IL. So I am a little concerned about that going forward,
because after that, you're talking about having Chadwick Trump be your backup catcher. And we saw he's okay. He's fine for a backup catcher. He's much better suited as a guy who still needs some seasoning down in the minor leagues. But I do think he does have quite a bit of potential. And he's someone that the Braves are going to try to season so that when Darnold is ready to walk away from the game in a season or two, or walk away from the Braves in a season or two, because look, let's be honest, he might get a big deal somewhere else. Trump would be able to come in. Braves get that big win yesterday. They win the series with Baltimore. What a hard-fought series, by the way. Baltimore is no joke. Baltimore is going to be a very good team this year. I would be shocked if the Orioles are not in the playoffs. And honestly, I'd be shocked if the Orioles don't go a step past that, win a series in the playoffs, depending on their matchup. I think it would be difficult for them to outlast Tampa Bay in the division. But they've got a big series themselves coming off of this past series. Baltimore is heading back home, and they're going to host the Rays. And that begins tonight. So that's the series that I'm going to watch tonight. Braves are off tonight. I'm going to dive into some Tampa Bay versus Baltimore. It's a pretty good pitching matchup too. It's McClanahan versus Gibson. And obviously the Rays have the upper hand in that particular game, but McClanahan, as good as he is, if he doesn't go super deep in the game, Tampa Bay used a lot of their bullpen this weekend on the Yankees. So Baltimore obviously used their bullpen as well. They're both coming in walking wounded, but man, that should be a fun series, Tampa Bay versus the Baltimore Orioles. And that is a three-game series in Baltimore. Once again, that begins tonight. So they're going Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or excuse me, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And then here's another fun one that Baltimore is involved in again. They're going to get a day off on Thursday. Then they're going to welcome in the Pittsburgh Pirates. And who would have thunk that beginning of the year, that Pittsburgh Pirates at the Baltimore Orioles could be one of the bigger matchups of the entire weekend. As far as the Braves go, we got ourselves a tough week in front of us. Boston's playing a lot better baseball. Red Sox are coming in tomorrow for just a two-game stint. And Boston, that's going to be a fun, fun matchup. Boston's 21-15. And it's showing right now that it would be Nick Pivetta versus Charlie Morton. And the Wednesday matchup is still up in the air, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be Max Fried. That's where it would have been, but it sounds like that Max Fried is going to get pushed back. They've been kind of hush-hush on everything about him. I don't know what that's about. Right now, ESPN is showing Fried to pitch on Friday. And he didn't appear to be hurt. But if you remember, on the Friday game, they left him in there for quite a while. And he might just need just a couple extra days rest to get ramped up. Plus, you got the opportunity to do it. You gave Charlie Morton a week off. Now you have a chance to give Max Fried a week off. And doing by doing that, you would also give Strider and Elder week off. So you give them all a week off a month into the season. I like it. And Wednesday very well could be Dylan Dodd again. Dodd would line up well. He pitched on Thursday, and then he would be set up to pitch again on Wednesday with actually an extra day of rest. I prefer seeing that. Much rather see that than a bullpen game. So And if you're wondering about options, once you've used an option on a guy, that's it for the year. It only counts as one option. So he can go. So most fans know the nuts and bolts of what can be done with the rosters, but as far as the intricacies, a little sketchy. There's three options that can be put on a major league player, optioning him back down to the minors, in other words. And he can have himself optioned three times. After that third time, he has to be designated for assignment. And when he gets designated for assignment, it means that anybody can grab him on the waiver wire. Well, basically what that sets up a major league club for is in his first part of his career, you have 3 years that you can bounce him up and down. It's mainly for pitchers. You will see it from time to time with hitters, but it's mainly for pitchers, and you can see him bounced up and down for that time period. Three times. After that third time, then anybody can grab him if they want him. Now, obviously, Dodd's already been optioned one time this year. He's been optioned twice this year because remember he broke with the team, then he was optioned. This whole thing's only counting for once this year. So that's the most obvious choice. I saw people talking about Soroka. I think Soroka pitched on Saturday anyway, so that would be short rest to begin with. But I looked at Soroka's game and his stat line, obviously. 4 innings, 3 earned runs right before that. If you remember, it was like less than 2 innings, 8 earned runs. This is not when you bring Soroka up. He's scuffling. Let Dodd pitch in front of the home crowd and against a good Boston team, but it's not a loaded lineup. So there's some mistakes that can be made in that lineup, and you can live to fight another day. Any way you look at it, you send him out there. If he starts to scuffle, you can always go grab him, and then you turn it into a bullpen game. And with Atlanta having today off, Charlie Morton going tomorrow, then Dylan Dodd, who may not go deep into a game, so it could end up being a bullpen game on Wednesday. We have another day off on Thursday. So though a lot of fans get restless because like, man, what do I do with my time? I'm so used to following the Braves. Every night when I get off work or whatever your schedule is, it's much needed for a team that has had very few days off to start the season. So we will be off Monday and Thursday and just have those two games in the middle of the week. And then we have to go to pretty tough road trip at Toronto and at Texas. And just a programming note on that, we're going to bring you all 5 games this week, Boston, and then the 3 in Toronto. The Sunday game is a Mother's Day game, and I'm actually going to have my mom hang out with me on the Mother's Day game, and she's going to talk about her growing up as a baseball fan and, you know, what it meant to her and whatnot. She grew up in Brooklyn, New York in the 40s and 50s. And was a Dodger fan before they moved to LA. And of course it broke her heart and everybody else's heart that was a Brooklyn Dodger fan in Brooklyn. There were a lot of Brooklyn Dodger fans that were affected, but the ones that actually lived in New York, it tore them apart. So she is slowly, it's taken her. I mentioned this on the broadcast the other day. It's taken her. What is this? When did they leave? 55? So we're talking about 70 years, she is finally starting to adopt a new team, and it's the Atlanta Braves. I tried to talk her into it for years. As a kid, I was a Braves fan. I've been a Braves fan since the early 80s. And I tried to talk her into it for years. And she just, you know, she enjoyed baseball. She never turned down going to a game. And if I put it on, if we were hanging out, she loved seeing it. But she didn't have an affiliation. And she mentioned to me recently that, you know, she's really starting to get more back into baseball, watching it more often. And just a personal note, her husband passed away this year. So she has even more time now where she's kind of trying to fill the void, and she's filling it with watching baseball. And when she first started talking about it, she said, but I just don't have a team to pull for. I said, well, you know, there's this team in Georgia that I've been trying to get you to follow for I don't know how long. And she'll listen to the broadcast, but the play-by-play broadcast, but just hadn't really had a real affiliation. And she is now turning into a Braves fan. So I think it'd be a cool way to welcome her into Braves country. And Mother's Day should be a fun broadcast. But that's Toronto. We're going to bring you all five games this week. The two in Boston Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Toronto. Just a note on that weird start time on Saturday. So we go 7:07 on Friday. Saturday's 3:07, so right smack in the middle of the day. I don't know why, but Toronto's always played their Saturday games right in the middle of the day. And they are on Eastern time, but they always play right smack in the middle of the day. And then 1:37 on Mother's Day. Then we are going to bring you the following week. We are going to bring you four games. The three games in Texas, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're off Friday, and then we will bring you the Friday night game in Seattle. Or, sorry, against Seattle. We're coming back to Atlanta, and that's 7:20 Eastern. The Saturday evening game, that's going to be on Free Fox Rabbit Ears. We're not doing that game, and I got to do less and less games on Sunday, or my wife's going to be calling her attorney. So, anyways, we're going to bring you those four games that week. And then after that, man, you talk about a big week of baseball for the Braves. It's a long homestand when we get back on the 19th of May, which is a week from Friday. We have three at home against Seattle, three against the Dodgers, and then a four-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies. How about that? That's a big, and I hate the fact they're not giving us a day off before we have to go to Oakland. We have a three-game set out heading out to Oakland in Arizona, and they typically would give you the day off after a Sunday night game. They typically don't have you fly out west, but that's what the deal is. They're going to have us flying out west Sunday night after the Philadelphia game to play Oakland the following day. So that's going to be kind of a tricky stretch, and all that when we go to Oakland and Arizona, that's all going to come to a head early part of June at home against the Mets. And hopefully we'll have padded our lead such that we're just looking to win that series and move on. But seven games up right now. Heck of a start. We get Travis d'Arnaud back. We'll get more into the Boston series tomorrow. As far as this past weekend, I was absolutely impressed with the grit of this team. You talk about the two-run home run that Kevin Pillar Saturday night. For folks that might have missed that game, Kevin Pillar came in as a pinch hitter for Eddie Rosario, who's actually been hitting lefties pretty well I was a little surprised that they were going to Pilar. I wasn't shocked. It makes sense. Man, the first pitch, he absolutely walloped it over the left field wall. And that was a great dramatic come from behind win. And then how about Luis Castillo? Did he not look phenomenal? Holy cow. Luis Castillo looked good this weekend. Slammed the door shut on Saturday night. And the game yesterday, that was an incredible baseball game. Pitched well. Tyler Wells pitched well. Bryce Elder pitched well. Bryce Elder got himself into a couple of jams, and it really was via the walk. What did he walk? Four guys yesterday? That's not been Bryce Elder. Like, Bryce Elder's done a great job of keeping guys, keeping free passes off the bags. But Tyler Wells, I was looking at a pregame show Sunday, early Sunday morning, getting ready for our broadcast, and they were talking about the matchup, and they were talking about how Tyler Wells, the past couple outings, hadn't pitched as well, and da-da-da-da-da. But you looked at his overall numbers, you're like, man, this guy's got good numbers. And the guy making the prediction just thought the Braves would roll. And I always take some of these with the grain of salt, because I'm like, have you really watched these guys, or are you just strictly going off the numbers? I'm pretty sure this guy is going strictly off the numbers. Tyler Wells has got some good stuff. He really does. And that Austin Voth has pitched well against Atlanta. Last time I remember Austin Voth, when he was in Washington, we were tattooing his ass. He pitched well. And this Cano kid, Yennier Cano, I say kid, he's 29. He's a late bloomer. He is the real deal. 6'4", 245 pounds, and he brings a low sinker to the game with a strong bite. He has yet to give up an earned run. Bautista, I thought, looked good. I felt like that the only guy that really didn't look good per se was Bauman out of their entire bullpen, but even he wasn't terrible, and he looked pretty good the timeout before. So this Baltimore team is really good. Jesse Chavez is going to be an issue. Jesse Chavez pitches to contact. When you put Jesse Chavez in a game with a ghost runner on, you are asking for what happened. And he gave up the run. The one run that was given up in extras. He gave up the run in the 10th, but it wasn't an earned run. But we were very, very fortunate that ball didn't go well. I have never been so happy to see a guy leave Atlanta than this Anthony Santander. My God. They say 6'2", 230. There is no way he's 6'2", 230. This guy is like Paul Bunyan. He's up there swatting the ball, slapping it up against the wall. I'm in shock he's only got 5 home runs on the year. I feel like 7 or 8 of them were against the Braves this weekend. But he is a mean, lean hitting machine. Glad to see him out of there. And that Ryan Mountcastle, he didn't do a lot of damage against Atlanta. I'm glad to get him out of there before he does. That's a good play. Mullins is a good player. They got high hopes for Henderson. We didn't see it this weekend, but they've got high hopes for him. He's one of the top prospects in all of baseball. That's a good young, fun team to watch, Baltimore. We head into the Red Sox series, and like I said, we'll get more into the details of that series tomorrow. We're going to obviously do the Braves Country today, 3 to 5, and then we're bringing the game to you, 7:20 first pitch Wednesday. We're bringing the game to you as well. And Tones is going to stop by and do some color commentary. So I've actually got 2 color commentators this week, which would be a nice, nice, relaxing break. Wednesday night with Tones, and then my mom's coming in on Mother's Day, and Tones is going to be with us. I believe the next three Wednesdays is how we have it set up. So that should be a lot of fun. And how about that Michael Harris yesterday? They walk to get to Michael Harris. And if I would have told you a month ago that someone would be walking Marcell Ozuna to get to Michael Harris, you'd be like, what? What? He made him pay. Heater on the outside part of the plate. And that Perez kid came in earlier in the series and was really impressive. He threw that first pitch. And Harris gave that thing a ride, and I knew it was going to be deep enough to where, even if it was caught, Ozzie was at least going to tag up and hit third. And with his speed, what I was looking at as the ball was flying was, is he going to make that catch and slam into the wall and then have to roll around before he can get back up? But Harris put a absolute dart, and they were playing him to pull too. That's the other thing. I often wonder about this when you see a team playing a guy to pull. So they had the center fielder and the right fielder in the pull. Left field was playing pretty straight away. So you have a gap there, which is where Harris hit it. But what I've never understood is, if you're going to play your guy to pull, right? He's going to pull. Why in the world are you pitching on the outside part of the plate? If you want him to pull the ball and expect him to pull the ball, why wouldn't you pitch inside? It just seems really, really strange. And they were set up. When I went back there to look at the replay, in fact, I'm looking at it again as I speak. But the catcher was set up on the outside part of the plate. And the pitcher pretty much hit the spot. I'd say if you were asking him, he'd probably say that he got just a little bit too much of the plate, but honestly, it really wasn't a bad pitch. It was just great plate coverage by Harris, and he stepped into it and drove it to the wall. But once again, it might be nitpicking, but just from a standpoint, I watch a lot of these games and I see it time and time again. If you're going to play a guy to pull, why are you pitching him on the outside? Because other than him swinging and missing, that is going, 9 times out of 10, the ball is going to go in that direction. And I'm not saying that you can't play him to pull. And I'm not saying that you can't pitch him outside. But I'm saying you can't pitch a man outside and play him to pull at the same time. It doesn't work that way. At least give your outfielder a fighting chance. And just play him straight up. We didn't realize it at the time, but beginning of the game, how big was that Matt Olson home run? When you see these guys get these runs in the early part of the game, you never think of that as being a huge play until you get much deeper in the game, because your first thought process as a fan is, oh man, we're going to have us a freaking high scoring game today. First runs on the board. Okay, let's get it. And then that's the last run we scored until extras. He blasted that thing. It's funny. I'm looking at that replay too. And ironically, that ball is pretty much, it was a different pitch, and obviously it was from right-hander. But that ball's pretty much in the same spot as the Harris home run, and it and it landed in the same spot. I said home run, the Harris walk-off. It landed in the same spot. It just went over the wall. By far, our two biggest hits yesterday, pitches on the outside part of the plate to left-handers, they drove it to left center field. And that's winning baseball, because when you're losing, you're swinging at that, or you're popping it up, or you're dragging it across the ground, getting on top of it, and it's an easy put out to first base. But we may not have seen the last of the Baltimore Orioles in Truist Park. I could see Baltimore getting hot in the postseason, be the team that we have to face. And I'll be interested to see what the Orioles do this year, because last year they sold at the deadline. If you remember that, they sold their closer. They got rid of Trey Mancini, did a couple other things, and they were right there at the wild card, and they punted. This year, it's one of the reasons why I picked them to make the playoffs, because this year I believe they're all in, and if they're hanging around, they are not going to get on the sell train. They're going to be buying. Now, they're the Orioles, and they're still building the right way. I'm not saying I got to go out and get Shohei Ohtani at the deadline, but I'm saying that they're going to – whatever they feel like they need right now, I think what Baltimore needs more than anything else is some starting pitching. But they're going to be a fun team to watch. And, you know, when it comes to the American League East, to me, it's fun when a team not named the Red Sox or Yankees is winning. And honestly, now the Rays are becoming such a stalwart. Baltimore would be a fresher breath of air in the playoffs. And a big baseball town, great baseball town. Tonight's games, real quick. Before we hit the break, you've got the Guardians, and they are at home against the Tigers. Wentz versus, I've heard it pronounced three different ways. Bibby. I'm going with Bibby until I hear it pronounced differently. Bibby's on the mound, and he's had a pretty good beginning to his career. Cleveland should get the W there. They're at home against the Tigers, who actually has had a big week. They swept the Mets and took 2 of 3 in St. Louis. We talked about the Baltimore-Tampa series. Rockies and Pirates tonight. Pirates are going to try to get back on the winning track. Dodgers-Brewers. That's a fun one. That starts 7:40 tonight in Milwaukee. Peralta versus Gonsolin, and Cardinals Cubs. Used to, that would have been big time. That'd have been like the ESPN game of the night, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of under the radar. That game's in Chicago. Mikolas versus Stroman. And talked briefly about Marlins heading to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks. They're getting Zach Gallen. Good luck with that. Braxton Garrett to Zach Gallen. I can't get to the gambling window quick enough for that one. Hunter Brown and the Astros in Los Angeles to take on Angels and Sandoval. That's a good pitching matchup. And
whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins.
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites.
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients, no high-fructose corn syrup, and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites.
There you go.
Yes.
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
Hey, Braves fans. Thank you for listening to Braves Country Baseball. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we are here to bring you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves, bringing you spring training and 2 to 3 games a week all season long. Please like and subscribe today. Braves Country Baseball.
How to improve your dining room by The Home Depot.
New wood floors, new paint on the walls. Sure, you know us for that. But how about a new dining room table? Matching chairs? Bar stools? How about free and flexible delivery with easy online returns? Now you can explore decor in a whole new way. Save now on furniture. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. U.S. only, valid through September 7th. Limitations apply.
Your true friends are the people in your life that totally get your inside jokes, your unique style, most important, what you want to eat. Taco Bell knows that when you get together with your real friends, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but hey, it might as well be something that everybody can get into, like the taco and burrito cravings pack with four crunchy tacos and four beefy five-layer burritos. So even if you're all sitting around doing absolutely nothing, you know you'll still have a good time. It's Taco Bell's taco and burrito cravings pack. Get it for the friends that get it.
You're listening to Braves Country. Weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., 99.1 FM, The Key. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans. All right, welcome back. Apologize for the last second. I hit the wrong button to setting up the scoreboard to talk about it next. I hit the commercial break, and I decided not to overwrite. I was like, I'll just explain when I get back. This is ridiculous. That's what happens when you are the host and the producer at the same time. So sometimes these gaffes happen, and we're doing it live. So there you go. But anyways, I hit the wrong button, and I don't remember what thought process was. I know I was talking about today's games. Gonna hit that up real quick right before we hit the top of the hour here. A couple of more interesting. If you're looking from the gambling side of this tonight. First of all, NBA, not touching it. Don't touch the NBA. Do not play with the NBA. NBA is a sucker's bet. Every once in a while, I'll throw something on for a team that I'm pulling for, but that's not even – I would never even give advice in that. That's just me being a sucker fan, right? But the NBA is just – it's a terrible, terrible sport to bet on. The scoring is too up and down, so point spreads mean essentially nothing. You know, last night I was watching the Denver game. And first of all, they're talking about whether or not Jokic should be suspended for game five. If he gets suspended, that tells you right there that the NBA is fixing the series. If you miss what I'm talking about, he pushed away the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who had a hold of the basketball and was in his face. Now the owner of the Suns has came out and said that he shouldn't be suspended. It would, I forget how he put it, but basically said it would feel something wouldn't feel right about it, something like that. That's kind of him straddling the fence of. He's endorsing that he shouldn't do it, even though it may be done, right? But if you see the play, you see how it unfolded. Jokic should not be suspended for that. If you're going to suspend him from that, then quit allowing the fans to be sitting so damn close to the court. That's all I can say about that. But anyways, do not do NBA bets. They're suckers bets. We do college basketball. We had a lot of success with that. We do Major League Baseball. And when football comes around, we do a lot of football bets. Have pretty good success rate, but I cannot endorse an NBA bet. I think they're stupid. The guys that will do the NBA bets on the show here, they have a losing record doing those bets. Same thing with the NHL. So take that with what you want. Sometimes they just want to do it because it's a sport they follow and it's a sport they want to do, but I try to get you to the window to make some money. All right, some of the plays that I like today. Here's the thing. If you're going to bet the Guardians today. They're getting a pretty good -1.5 +105 line on Detroit. It's because they're expecting Wentz to get clobbered again. I'm not so much on that as I am on putting it together in a parlay. And one of the ones that I like the most would be Cleveland at home and Pittsburgh at home on a parlay. You put that together, it's going to pay out about I think it's actually a +120. That's a pretty good payout for a Pittsburgh team that I think is legitimate NL Central contender, for what that's worth. They're coming back home. They're going to take on a Colorado team who's coming from New York. Freeland's on the mound. He's had an up and down year. Keller's actually been pretty darn consistent. So that's one of my favorite plays today. And I honestly like Baltimore getting the 1.5 at home. I get that McClanahan's really good, but Tampa just went through a really tough series with the New York Yankees, and they're having to travel. Now, the Baltimore Orioles are kind of in the same boat. They went through it with the Braves. But they're at home, and I don't know what it is about this. If you follow this rivalry at all, which I have for a bit over the last, I'll say 6-7 years, for whatever reason, even when they're bad, the Baltimore Orioles give the Tampa Bay Rays hell. And they're pretty darn good this year. They're at home. They had Gibson on the mound. I don't feel as confident taking them on the +160 for the win line, though some people who are a little more aggressive might do that. I'm not saying I wouldn't put it together as part of a parlay. One of my favorite things to do with Major League Baseball parlays of games that I feel like, man, I feel like this team's got a chance today. You grab a couple of them, and you parlay a couple of underdogs, you can get a really big payout off the jump. Another one that I like, another team that's at home, that's a heavy favorite. I'm more likely to put them on a parlay than I am to bet straight up. Because if you take a -185, you're talking about, let's say you're wanting to win $100 back, you have to risk $185. That's not that great of a payout. And the novice sports bettor will say, well, but it's $100 I didn't have. Those who have been through the trenches and understand the give and take and the wins and losses every day, you want a higher payout, because when you lose, if you consistently bet on the high dollar ones or the -185s, the -200s or whatnot, if you consistently do that, you're going to lose money across the board. But I like putting together a lesser amount and parlaying. If I really like a -185, a -200, that kind of thing. So I like Cortez and the Yankees at home, but I think I would parlay it with a later game in the night, Arizona home against Miami -200. Zach Gallen is going to slam the door shut on the Miami Marlins, and the Marlins have just exposed their bullpen. That's going to be a rough, rough go for Miami. All right, we have got to take a quick break. We're going to hit the other betting lines on the other side of this. Take a quick break, step away, station ID, and get you the sports flash, and we'll be back in a flash. Tones is on the way, and we're going to be we got a whole list of stuff that he wants to talk about. I have to rattle it off here when we get back. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Major League Baseball here on Monday, May 8th. Got a pretty decent slate for a Monday. It all gets going at 6:10 Eastern. Tigers and Guardians, Wentz versus Bibby. 6:35, Rays and Orioles. Baltimore will send Gibson to the mound, 4-1 with a 4.61 ERA. McClanahan, 6-0 with a 2.03 for Tampa. Rockies are at the Pirates at 6:35 as well. Freeland versus Keller, Pirates, 20-15 on the young season. A's are at the Yankees tonight. Sears, the ex-Yankee prospect, will head into the Bronx to take on Nestor Cortes in New York. White Sox and Royals, 7:40 first pitch. Dylan Cease versus Zach Greinke. Dodgers and Brewers are at it as well at 7:40. Tony Gonsolin and Freddie Peralta as the Brewers and Dodgers go at it in Milwaukee. Cardinals and Cubs at 7:40. Mikolas versus Stroman. Cardinals, worst record in the National League, going up against the Cubs, who sit at 500. 9:38 Eastern, Astros versus the Angels. That game can be seen on the Plus. Hunter Brown and Pablo Sandoval. Marlins at the Diamondbacks. Arizona, 19-15 on the year. They'll send Zach Gallen, 4-1 with a 2.53 ERA, versus Braxton Garrett, 1-1 with a 5.81. Rangers are at the Mariners. It's John Gray versus Logan Gilbert. Both ERAs north of 4, both records at 1-1. And the Nationals are at San Francisco. Irvin, his 2.08 ERA, goes up against Disco Stick, 3-1 with a 2.13. In the NBA tonight, playoffs keep rolling. First game up, a doubleheader on TNT. The Knicks are at the Heat. Miami leads it 2-1. Miami a 4.5-point favorite over under 208. At 10 o'clock, the Warriors are at the Lakers. Lakers lead that series 2-1. LA giving up 2.5 over under 228. The National Hockey League, Stanley Cup playoffs after a triple header yesterday. Just one game tonight. Vegas Golden Knights are at the Edmonton Oilers. Series is tied at 1-1. That game can be seen at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. In case you missed the news earlier, Travis d'Arnaud has been reinstated by the Atlanta Braves. He'll join the squad tomorrow night as the two-game series begins versus the Boston Red Sox. We'll have the coverage right here on Braves Country HD. Pitch by pitch, play by play. All the fun starts at 7:20 Eastern. Charlie Morton on the hill for your Bravos. A sad day in the world of baseball. Vita Blue, hard-throwing left-hander for the Oakland Athletics, the three-time back-to-back-to-back World Series champions of the early 1970s. He passed away at the age of 73. Vita Blue passed away at a San Francisco East Bay Area Medical Hospital stemming from cancer complications, according to the Oakland Athletics. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Statute. What? Statute of limitations. It's not a statue.
No, it's statue.
Fine. It's a sculpture of limitations.
Welcome back. You see this that what Elon Musk put out, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours ago? People up in arms about it. I say, good for him, man. People get so mad at this guy for whatever reason. But the tweet that he put out says, we're purging accounts that had no activity at all for several years. So you will probably see follower count drop. And a lot of them are up in arms, and one of them, I don't know who this guy is, director of fantasy betting. Okay, so he's involved with fantasy football. I won't give his name out because I'm not trying to drag him. I don't know enough about him. But It's his response to it, because he's got like 34,000, almost 34,000 followers. He says, Elon, I'll say this politely. If my follower count dips below 33,000, it's an exact number. This is a weird number. 33,652. Then I lose valuable sponsorship money that puts food on my table. Unless you plan to send me a check in the mail by next Tuesday of $20,000, reconsider this decision. And I had to go in and read the responses, because you know they're going to be good. And one of them was, so you'd rather dupe the advertisers and the false accounts? And the guy responds not very good at it. But anyways, he responded towards it. Didn't really get the fact that this, I mean, the guys make a legitimate point. So you'd rather dupe your advertisers. And the guy's getting all up in arms about it. So basically what he's done is, from my take of this, from what I understand it, is he has purchased Twitter followers. There's all kinds of sites that you can buy these followers and whatnot. And what Elon's talking about doing is getting rid of these followers. And you'll see a dramatic drop in these accounts. And the ones who have bought them, they're the ones who are raising $300 worth of hell. And of course, one of the best comebacks was someone said, so he has to send you $20,000 for you to survive. He put that in quotation marks. And I'm thinking, yeah, exactly. But I mean, look, there's a handful of Twitter. Oh, Tones is actually here. Let me let him in. He's usually running late on Monday, so I was buying time. I didn't realize he was here. Let me change the screen, and here we go. Get this out of the way. And Tones, welcome to the show. I apologize. I didn't realize that you were here, as I don't know if you can hear me.
Hope all is well with you, brother. Don't apologize. I usually am running a little late on Mondays, but took the day off today. Was a little under the weather, but still got radio duties to fulfill, so here I am.
Well, hopefully you're doing all right. We appreciate you manning through it.
Would never miss it, brother. Well, actually,
you're not doing an NBA-type deal where you say, you know what, I'll take this day off, but then I'll be back on game four.
Actually, now that you mention it,
we'll try to cover the spread tonight, but on Wednesday we're actually going to try to win that one. Have you seen this thing with I don't know if you could hear me talking about, but the Elon Musk thing where he said that he's purging accounts that no longer have activities? There are a few account handles that I would have liked to have had in the past that I couldn't get because it's people. There's one particular one. I haven't looked at it in a long, long time, but I do know the guy who's got the handle has not put a tweet out in over 10 years. Like 2011 was the last time I'm like, what are we doing here?
That's ridiculous. And I do agree with, I like what Elon's doing. Why not clean it up a little bit, clean it out a little bit? I mean, if you really have an account that's older and that you want up or whatnot, then make it active, right? Because what's the point of kind of just having an account linger out there? As you said, it could be a Twitter handle that someone likes. The only reason I see for this, you know, is if a fam, they should have like Facebook, you know, how Facebook has a memorial mode or whatever when somebody passes away. Maybe Twitter makes that where you can turn that on, so when you pass away, your tweets become hidden to just your family or something like that. But all the other old accounts and tweets, man, if you're following me but you're not active on Twitter nor looking at my stuff, why the heck would I care if you follow me? That's kind of scamming the system. That one guy complaining about it, oh, it feeds his family. Well, Maybe you're the one who created 300 accounts. You're not using him. You followed yourself. And now, you know what I'm saying?
Well, exactly. There's only so many hours in the day for this guy to be able to go in there and tweet, and he can't get to all 38,000 accounts that he has.
So, I mean, I agree with you. I agree with Elon, really. I think it's a good idea, and I think he receives too much hate. Some things he does, sure, you could say boneheaded, whatever, but mostly what he's done to Twitter, for the most part, hasn't really missed a beat, and if anything, has enhanced it to me.
It's just, it's odd. It's odd. And the other thing, did you see the guy that I was referring to, by the way?
The fantasy football dude?
Yeah. What a specific number, 33,652.
That,
below that per specific number, how many does he actually have?
It has to be something along
33.6.
And what did he say he needs? 33.2?
33,652. I could have swore when I looked at it a second ago, it was around 36,000, 35 something. So I think a bunch of people have seen this and dipped off of them.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I keep looking at
I think he shot himself in the foot is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think some people probably said, if you're going to act like this, I may as well not follow you to begin with. How about that? Well,
that was my first thing, is that I see followers, and then what is this crap that he's got here? Subscribe to my tweets? Yeah, I'm subscribing to your tweets, clown. Yeah. You're buying Twitter subscriptions, and you look like you might be at the most 24 years old. You're going to explain something to me about fantasy football? Get the hell out of here, man. I've forgotten more about fantasy football from last night's little drinky in the pool than this guy's ever going to know. So I know I'm not subscribing to his tweets.
Isn't it lovely too, all these, I mean, you know, I think I'm a young aspiring fantasy mind, but I don't come out here and demand all this fantasy content. I just feel like the young generation.
You probably also haven't bought 35,000 followers.
Yeah, that is true.
I wonder if that has cost him over the years.
Yeah, probably a pretty penny. I mean,
I'm telling you, he had 35.2 when I first saw it about an hour ago. He's down to 33.6. Below that number that he says he has, I know he had more than what his criteria is,
mm-hmm.
Because I was like, man, you're not that far away. Now, I don't know what it was when he first made the tweet. When he first made the tweet, it may have been, hell, I don't know. You know, he might have been close to 40,000 and started seeing it dip.
He's on the jockey Twitter trend in followers.
You know what else he did? He got on their radar. They probably went after his followers and said, fake, 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 fake. Yeah.
It, nothing like pointing.
Like 9 followers by Monday morning.
Turning himself in, pretty much.
They're going to have one guy in charge. One kid is in charge of that guy's Twitter account, and he's going to be asking every one of his followers to go through that. I forget what they call it, but what is it called? Like a verify that you're not a robot test, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the verification on the dice. You know, is this the chicken? Pick the traffic light, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, this ain't worth it, man. I'm out.
Hey, man, I'm glad I wasn't following that guy. But if I was, I'd probably unfollow him because, let's be honest, everyone on the timeline under the age of 25 thinks they're a fantasy genius nowadays who partakes. So just another one of those dudes.
Well, he has shot himself in the foot is what it comes down to.
And if he's that young, what is he complaining about? Feeding putting money on the table for his family. You know what I'm saying?
It's I don't know, man. That's a go-to. You know, from his profile picture, he looks like he's some hippie out in the middle of nowhere. So he's probably not even. He probably doesn't even have a family. He's probably like one of these. Do you ever see like these TikTok accounts where they're like homeless? And but somehow they're making buku's cash off of TikTok. So they're just doing TikTok videos.
Yeah. Oh, he does wind up like one of those guys. But hey, whatever. That's him. Glad we're not part of that, nor him. So
it's just kind of funny to me that when the guy first did it, when I first saw it, the only reason why we went down the rabbit hole, I assumed he was a political guy, because it's usually all these political guys on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is a fantasy football guy. And he's trying to, what's funny is he's gotten into all these different threads that I see. He's not doing a very good job of defending his point.
Oh, he's part of that 33rd team. Those people, they always get a lot of grief. How is this guy on Cameo? That's another thing. What, does he have to pay you to get a cameo of him? Josh Larkey. Who would get a cameo of him?
Man, that doesn't mean anyone's actually using it.
No, but like, what, you know, are me and you going to get cameos next?
I wasn't going to give his name, but you let the cat out of the bag there. But just because you put your, I think anybody can put themselves on Cameo, it doesn't mean that you're going to get it.
No.
And it really depends on too, what's he charging, a dollar, or is he charging $5? I don't even know what the minimum is. I always thought the Cameo was really stupid. I've seen the ones where, you know, I know there's some athletes that do them. I just think they're incredibly stupid, because you're paying literally for a moment in time, and it's usually way overpriced, for someone to give you like a happy birthday, and you're not having a conversation with this person. They're just recording it and flipping it up to the cloud, and it's mm-hmm. getting downloaded to you via email.
Mm-hmm.
How is that any, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You. Maybe there's some folks that just go, oh man, I can't believe he said my name.
Hey, can't believe I've seen him on the camera. I mean, I think, you know, maybe one cameo in life is cool, but how many times could you get a cameo? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you get it once, all right, sure, cool, good for you. But if you get like five cameos, it's like, all right, well, what am I doing? Collecting internet friends here?
The whole thing seems pointless to me. I mean, but then again, I've never been a fanboy like that. Like, you know, autographs have never really meant anything to me the way it does other people. So it's hard for me to judge, because I don't really get it sometimes, because though I might be a fan of certain players and certain, you know, musicians and whatnot, I think it's disingenuous to get, you know, hey, sign this and say, you know, two tones, you're my best bud. Love Tom Brady, right? And I give that to you, and you're like, that's cool. And I walk away, and you're like, yeah, but I didn't meet him. I didn't hang out with this guy. Like, what the hell? He just wrote on something?
Right.
I don't know. To me, the whole thing's disingenuous. There's only people that I've ever thought about even remotely that I would want to get an autograph from. And honestly, I think they're all dead. So it's a moot point at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you. We have a MLS fan in the chat. They say, go New England Revolution. And he says, getting a photo with the favorite athlete is pretty cool, though. Well, I agree. A photo is different than an autograph, though, I believe, as well. You know, getting a photo.
I mean, that's a little different. You know, that's a memory you can have. Hey, I met so-and-so.
Exactly.
Like I said, I'm not even putting down people who want a photograph. An autograph, I just personally, it's not my cup of tea.
And I know a lot of people who think like that, you know, they don't want autographs, and that's fine. You
know, this, I would never ask for an autograph from a player, an artist, what that's younger than me. Cause that's weird, man.
I hear you on that. I hear you on that.
How old are you these days, Tones?
27, about to be 28 in a month, and okay. A little over a month.
So, any way in hell that you would take that you would go out of your way and get yourself a Patrick Mahomes autograph?
Only if it gets his brother found guilty. No, I'm kidding. No, but
can I use this as DNA evidence?
Can we use this in the court of law? But the only way I'm doing something like that is if I turn around and sell it right away. If you know, I'm not going to go out of my way. I'm sure
there's Tampa Bay Buccaneers that you would want their autograph.
Yeah, like Bruce Arians, I did meet him, and I happened to get his autograph.
Yeah, so. He's much older. Are there any current players who are younger that you'd be like, hell yeah, that's cool?
When I went to the golf outing last year, I got a couple autographs, and they were all veterans. They were all older players, no one younger than myself.
I could see me doing a photograph, but the only way I'm doing it is if we actually had an interaction. I wouldn't want to just bug the hell out of someone who's out to eat and grab a cameo snapshot real quick. And then people say, oh, man, you met so-and-so. I don't know. Did you? Or did you? I saw a funny video the other day of Burt Reynolds talking about Clint Eastwood back in their younger days.
Mm-hmm.
And Clint, have you seen this video? This is classic. He said that him and Clint are out having drinks or whatever, dinner, and some lady, they never got into who she was, came over wanting, I think, an autograph. Maybe it was a picture, but it was one of the two. I want to say it was a picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is years ago. Whatever it is she wanted, he just said something to the effect of, can I please just finish my damn drink? Which, who knows how that first came about. Maybe that did come off kind of rude. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I guess she snapped back and said something really nasty to him. And he jumped up, and all the guys that they were hanging out with took their drinks and poured it on her head, right? Rushed her out of the bar, put her in the cab. And this is 40, 50 years ago. Gave the cab driver $100. And said, take her $100 away from here.
That is hilarious.
Bert says he kicks the side of the door. The car takes off, gets back in, still kind of perturbed, gets a drink, sits down. And he said he looked over at Bert and he goes, that might have been a little bit out of line. And Bert said, you think? He goes, maybe I was a little over the top with that one.
I wonder where the heck that person might have ended up for $100.
That person could be long gone. Who knows? But that was a funny, funny story. I was like, man, can you imagine seeing Clint Eastwood rush some dame out of the, you know, because back then that's what they would have said, right? Rush some dame out of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
He's already poured drinks on her head and give the cab driver $100 to take her away. Back in those days, $100 cab ride, what probably would have taken you to the next city.
Yeah, for real. I like Eastwood. He's a funny guy. That would have been awesome to see. Actually experience, that would have been classic. Still cool to hear the story about it.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's 420. Smoke them if you got them. When we come back, got a lot to get over and a little time to do it. We'll be back on a flash here on Braves Country.
I mean, it's not easy being me. When I was born, a doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Screen pass to Trayshon DeAndre on the right side. Touchdown! Bud, wait a second. I think there's a flag on the play.
All right, you guys got holding on number 97, right?
Yeah, definitely holding. No touchdown.
All right, make the call.
Yeah, I mean, it was holding.
So make the call.
Or, you know, we say the flag was for an excessive celebration so they can keep the touchdown and apply the penalty to the kickoff, huh? What do you say?
What are you talking about? I didn't see excessive celebration.
You sure? I could have sworn I saw a little nay-nay going on.
What's going on with you, man?
All right, look, guys, I got to be real with you. Trayshon DeAndre just scored that touchdown, okay? I have him on my fantasy team this week. I need these points.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you, Bill. I'm playing against my father-in-law this week, and if he doesn't score this touchdown, I lose.
Well, I'm not going to let you make a bad call because you're in some fantasy football league.
Make the call.
Craig, no. If you make one bad call...
This works out perfectly, Bill. I started the quarterback who threw the touchdown pass. We're going to have to ignore the holding call.
I have the kicker, and I was kind of hoping that he wouldn't convert on third down, so he'd have to kick the field goal.
I'm sure.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale's Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Learn more at sunny.org.
You know, the great thing about being a football player is you don't have to take a shower to go to work.
You're listening to Braves Country, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
What's shaking, Mr. Peterson?
What is it?
What are you up to, Norm?
My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, Norm, how's the world been treating you?
Like a baby treats a diaper.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
With a cool one in his hand.
Yeah, the
armchair. Welcome back.
He's kind of fun and he's kind of bad.
And got a few things to get into. You mentioned this thing about Contreras, and I must have missed this over the weekend. But the Cardinals are removing Wilson Contreras from catching duties. What is that all about?
So it seems as if the Cardinals are taking the route, and they haven't really done this before. They've been notoriously one of the more quote-unquote classy organizations, but they're blaming their pitching struggles, or at least early pitching struggles, seemingly on their big offseason free agent acquisition, Wilson Contreras, who they gave 5 years, more than $80 million to, a lot of money allocated to the catcher position, and now they said at first he's going to play outfield. Now it looks like he's just going to be designated hitter. The Cardinals starting pitching and bullpen have been horrendous this year, and they're taking it out on Willie here early on. So they really have no other answer at catcher. This really dampens their lineup because it disallows other positions, other players to get a day off at designated hitter. And you're really given a pretty good catcher.
Their biggest complaint with him is that he's just, I mean, nowadays most of the damn pitches are coming from the dugout. Mm-hmm. Is it that he's not calling the game, or he's not framing, or he's not? What is the major complaint?
They're just saying it's everything he's done catching as a whole, really. Framing, calling, throwing guys out, his defense in nature. They're just literally seemingly putting it all on him because Andrew Knizer is now their starting catcher, and he really is not too an extensive of a catching background, and they don't want to come out and say it, but they have pretty much said that they blame Wilson on their pitching ERA, their pitching whip, so pretty much means that they blame him on leaving pitches very hittable, and that could be calling pitches as well.
You know how they always say you don't want to be the guy that replaces the legend?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to replace Yadier Molina has got to be up there with, you know, Elvis Presley being your opener, right? Mm-hmm. How am I supposed to follow that?
Mm-hmm. Very true. Yadier, one of the best catchers of our generation.
It's not just that, man. He was there for 20 years, and to top it off, they treated him like a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a little unfair to put this all on Contreras. I also think this might have something to do with Marmol being just a terrible manager. And I've already seen a couple of things that he's done so far that is just absolutely ridiculous. And it looks like there's a lot of finger pointing going on, which is what happens when you have the worst record.
Yeah, he finger pointed at Tyler O'Neill as well. He said that, you know, he called him out. Then they sent down Jordan Walker, who looked pretty dang good in the first couple weeks as a rookie. Then they just sent him down abruptly. So, you know, might not be long before we do.
Walker was hitting well below 200. I mean, he was a disaster. He came out with a hitting streak, and everyone fell in love with that. But he was getting one single each time, essentially. And then that fell off, and I think when they sent him down, he was hitting like 150-ish somewhere in that area, because I noticed him get sent down, and I went to look up his stats. I was like, man, that that is not what was advertised.
I was looking at him in fantasy. I thought he was doing pretty good still, but regardless, big time prospect getting sent down. I just think it might not be long before we see Oliver Marmol getting replaced, maybe by a Yadier Molina, so to speak.
I don't know if Yadi would want the job, but I'm sure it wouldn't take much for him to get it. So Walker, it had something to do with like the last two or three weeks that he was up. So his batting average ended up being .274, I think, is what I'm looking at.
That's what I thought.
But he had a negative war, and a lot of it had to do with his defense. And the last two or three weeks, I think he had like one hit. So he started off red hot. So his overall numbers don't look that bad. But it had, because the article that I read when it came out was basically saying that he needs to go down and reset. So I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, you know, they're giving up on him. But it was one of these things where they're like, this kid's just in over his head up here.
Could be very true as well. And they were pretty deep at outfield too. So if his defensive
glove. Well, exactly. If you got a young kid, if he's not good enough to get the everyday starts, you got to send him back down so he continues to get at bats.
Right.
It's just, I mean, it's essentially the same thing with Grissom. Grissom, the only way he's going to develop is down in the minors.
That's why I think the Cubs kept Mervis down for a little bit. Everyone to begin the year was like, we got to start the year with Mervis up. We need Mervis now. But the point is to get
him. Who's this other kid that y'all got coming up today or tomorrow?
Morrell.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. He's been killing it in the minors. He came up briefly last year, and he was kind of a backup utility man last year. He played outfield, infield, and he did really good to start. And then, you know, he kind of fell off, but kind of got hurt. And now, start of the year in the minors, like you said, the Cubs wanted to get him regular at bats. He wasn't going to get that in Chicago. So they started him in the minors this year. He was killing it. And now he gets a promotion today, it seems. So hopefully tomorrow he's in the lineup of sorts, because he is a spark plug, Christopher Morrell, who's done tremendous this year in the minors. I mean, we've seen a mini youth movement in the past week or so now. Miguel Amaya got called up for hurt, Yan Gomes, and we've seen Matt Mervis, the first baseman, get called up as well. So the Cubs are trying to utilize their youth early and often this year.
Yeah, they were they said something about the tweet I saw was something like right around 1,200 OPS. Just below a 1,200 OPS in the minor, which, look, I get it's the minor leagues, but still, to me, that's pretty damn impressive.
He had double-digit homers this year in the minors already as well.
So what position is he expected to fill?
He'll be playing primarily corner outfield and third base, I would say.
Okay.
So that gives, you know, guys like Wisdom, Madrigal, Suzuki a little more days off, maybe Hap a little more time at designated hitter. He could really play anywhere besides first base and catcher. But we're not going to play him much at short or second with Horner and Dansby.
I think the other thing, I'm looking at the game log of Walker. I think the other reason why he might have been sent down. He had, so they sent him down on the 24th of April. He had not had a home run since April 8th.
Sheesh.
He hadn't had an extra base hit in almost 10 days. So I really think that's one of those things where they're just looking for the overall improvement in his game and then bring him back up. I'm sure he'll be back up this summer.
I wonder if Anthony Volpe, I mean, he hasn't really done much with the Yankees. I think he's
been okay. But everyone sold him like he's the second coming of Jeter.
Correct. And I mean, he's been contribution on the base pass, but other than that, he's been struggling. I wonder if they'll consider sending him down. I mean, a couple rookies are struggling, and that's what you expect out of some rookies, some struggles. Not all the rookies get it at the pro levels right away. It takes trials and tribulations for some in the majors. And those Miller kids, man, those Miller pitchers, I know no relation, but Mason Miller on the Athletics and Bryce Miller on the Mariners, two good examples of rookies coming up, making contributions. I'd say Mason Miller's by far the best starter the A's already have, and I'd say Bryce Miller.
Well, that's not saying much.
No, not saying much at all. But, the kid's been impressed. I think the rest of their starters have over a 6.5 ERA. Their starting's been terrible, the Oakland Athletics. That's a sad story over there. But if you look at Mason Miller, he's actually been impressive. His own 3.38 ERA, 0.98 whip, 22 strikeouts. Sadly, 0-2 as he is in Oakland. And then you look at the kid, Bryce Miller in Seattle. He's 15 strikeouts, 0.75 ERA, 0.42 whip. You're seeing a lot of rookies get called up earlier this year. It's good to see.
You know, another young arm that's going tonight for Cleveland, Tanner Bibby.
Mm-hmm.
So 2.45 ERA. He's got a 1.59 at home, and he's playing the Tigers at home tonight.
Could be a nice little fantasy pickup if you need a waiver wire starter out there.
You had a question about the Max Fried injury?
Just because I have him in fantasy, I feel like it's not much of an injury, but
that's where this is coming from. So this is just take this as a grain of salt. This is what I think it is. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I did the game that he pitched Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a little odd. First of all, he pitched well. Everyone looks at his final line. They left him in too long. He shouldn't have gone back out there for the seventh inning. He was in the low 90s at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Sent him back out there, and that's when the floodgates open.
Mm-hmm.
So he pitched, I think it was a touch below 110 pitches.
Mm.
The very next night, Strider is on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
95 pitches, 5 innings. They pull him.
Sheesh.
He'd only given up 2 runs. Had like 9 strikeouts.
Inconsistent.
And that very next inning, we gave up the lead, and I was beside myself. I'm like, so we leave Max out to dry on Friday night, going to the seventh inning, but we were treating Strider with kid gloves. What's going on here? What I think happened was this. You'll notice that Charlie Morton pitches tomorrow night for the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
His last time he pitched was last Monday in the doubleheader versus the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been in line to pitch Sunday. They skipped him. They gave Bryce Elder the start. So then at that point, he didn't just get one. He didn't get two. He got 3 extra days of rest.
Mm.
So if they don't start him on Wednesday at versus Boston and wait till Friday against Toronto, they're going to give him 7 days in between pitches. So I really think that. And then if you do that and Strider goes Saturday and Elder goes Sunday, which is how they have it lined up right now, all 3 of those guys get 7 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have Morton go tomorrow, then Dylan Dodd could come up and spell that 5th man. And Dylan Dodd will be going off of 6 days.
Mm.
So, well, 5 days rest, but it would be a 6th day because he pitched on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think this comes down to a little bit of in-season maintenance, giving guys an extra day off when they can. But what happened was all your sports writers and fantasy writers, they ran with it because they couldn't believe he was getting skipped because all they look is the bottom line. Well, it's every 5th day. Why is he not pitching? Why is he not pitching? Snicker didn't say much about it. And that leads me to believe that this was the plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that clears it up a little bit.
And we're slowly seeing that more in baseball, right? More teams doing the 6-man rotos when they can. I know the Dodgers are doing it this year. I think the Angels are doing it this year again as well. So something that more teams are open to the idea of. I think the Rays did it to begin the year. At least you normally see it in at least April and May. And why not? If you could give guys, especially younger guys, more time off in between starts, rest them up a little bit and keep them more sharp for down the stretch. I think that's a better idea of the, you know, than running them into the ground like the old days. And then by August or September, they're on the shelf for an inning restriction limit.
If Major League Baseball would raise or lower the or lift the bar, right now they demand that you have 13 active pitchers and 13 active hitters on the roster. If they would let you manipulate that, I think most teams would go to a six man.
Yeah, because really nowadays with a DH as well, I don't know if you need that many hitters necessarily, right? You know, I think you could
exactly
manipulate that and go to six man.
A National League guy, it used to be needed to a degree. I mean, it's just the way the game's evolved. But now, how often do you really pinch hit?
Now they feel spoiled, and some teams have three catchers for that reason. It just doesn't make sense. Like the Reds, they carried three catchers. The Cubs, they carried three catchers to begin the year. You think if you could allow them to trade out a hitter for a pitcher, they would swap a third catcher for a pitcher in a heartbeat. No team really needs three catchers. You know, it's just kind of a spot that is a little bit of a waste. To me, you should let the rosters be how they're had. I'd like to see more pitching on these baseball teams.
I agree with not letting it get crazy with the pitchers, but I wouldn't have a problem from allowing them to go 14 and 12.
That's what I think that'd be perfect.
My only question would be, does the player union have a problem with that? Because does the player union want 13 batters in there? Right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only question, is that why it's like that? Like, you know, because you get what I'm saying? Because the players union probably would believe, just thinking outside the box here, that you would spend less money on a bottom rung reliever as opposed to another decent batter, which they're probably right.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what a guy like Ohtani is counted towards, batting or pitching.
He's not human, so he doesn't count towards your 26 roster.
They only get a 25-man roster.
But they – when you look at, I mean, I would say it's counted as, I'd say he's probably counted as a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does pitch regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they get, I'm not aware of them getting some kind of a pass on that. I feel like I would have heard that by now. So I would say that he's looked upon it as a, or is he just looked upon as a pitcher on the days that he's a pitcher? I don't know.
I would think you're right, because if you think about it that good, and I think that's a good point you bring up, if they counted him as a batter, they'd be pretty much getting an extra pitcher on the depth chart, seemingly.
And then you'd be also be talking about, you couldn't let them manipulate the roster every fifth day, could you? I mean, that seems a little unfair as well.
Yeah, if you let them have that much traction, that much movement, that'd be a little excessive, but speaking of underwater level, says the Cardinals are a spoiled fan base. They're due for a bad year now and again. I don't know. You know, they've been one of those notorious franchises that are used to winning, and they do have slow starts, so I wouldn't count them out of the water just yet. I know it doesn't look great for the Cardinals, but they're used to these slow starts. I don't know if I would write them off just yet.
All right, let's take that next quick break. When we come back, we're going to put a bow on this puppy. We got the NHL playoffs to talk about. NBA is going on tonight. Our locks and much, much more. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Woohoo! Having somebody making wild decisions that make no sense, that benefits nobody.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes.
Is he listening to us? I can't tell.
He's listening. He's not understanding.
Yeah. He doesn't even like get us, man.
We're talking about you.
Ah.
Big news and the big games covered in the Big Ten by the Armchair Quarterbacks all year long.
Third down and about 22. As Smith drops the throw, he's got his tight end open
him, but he's got Connor downfield, and he's gone. Michigan leads the game with a first touchdown and a bullet, a bomb. The Carter, 71 yards.
Now State's lead, 7-3. There he goes. So long. Ohio State, touchdown.
That's that old 1-2 punch you make to him the first time, and then have it a second time.
In his career, Lorenzo White, 15 times, rushed for 100 yards in a half. Five of those this season. On second and 10.
Long, long throw to Rison, and he's open all the way to the six-yard line.
Big Ten football covered in the Southeast by the Armchair Quarterbacks.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey, sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM. Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE. Welcome back. Taking you all the way to the 5 o'clock hour where Brian Snow Show comes your way, and then you got Sports Map Radio. Make sure to get your morning started right here on WQEE, Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., then noon to 2. You got the Rod Peterson Show, 2 to 3 Sports Beat, and back at it live, 3 to 5, Braves Country. And tomorrow we'll be bringing you on Braves Country HD on YouTube. We'll bring you the show, but we'll also bring you the pitch-by-pitch Braves versus Red Sox, and then Tones is going to join us Wednesday night for Braves Country Baseball.
Amped for that. Those are always a treat. I always look forward to getting in the booth and talking some Braves Country Baseball with the world.
And that could be the Dylan Dodd game. We'll see what happens.
Double D is cool with me.
Wonder if I keep seeing people too. I mean, stop it with the Mike Soroka stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give it a rest. The guy's got a 5 ERA in the AAA. He went 4 innings this week and gave up 3 runs. Not terrible, but the time before that, he didn't even make it out of 2 innings, gave up 8 earned runs. Can we just stop it? Can we let him get on a roll a little bit?
Yeah, you got to let him take his time and develop.
If you see Mike Soroka's name on the Braves roster for starting, assume that that's an opening.
Mm-hmm.
That he's an opener. Right. They'll let him go through the lineup once, maybe twice, and then they're going to yank him. Mm-hmm. But I don't. Why? Why do that when you got Dodd? Dodd's pitched pretty darn well.
I agree. I wouldn't rush Soroka
up. I'd rather have Schuster come back up one more time and just let Soroka get some damn confidence down there.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know what you're talking about because I do not watch the NHL because the NHL playoffs this year to me are incredibly boring.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the Toronto choke job.
Yeah, you know, the Maple Leafs, they just haven't – first, they never got out of the first round for a little over 2 decades. They finally did it against the Lightning, only to be down 3-0 against the Florida Panthers right now. They're about to be yet another early exit bounce from the tournament. And for Canada's most notorious hockey team, for them to continuously flop in the postseason, just not a good look. And they have one of the better rosters in the NHL with Austin Matthews and the likes of him. So I'll be interested to see if there's big changes coming. I mean, how many to compare it? You really can't compare it in a sport. It would be like, I don't know. I guess the closest thing would be the Cowboys because they always are first round exits. So, you know, but Toronto makes it a lot more often than the Cowboys do. So, yeah, just kind of embarrassing for the Toronto fan base. And now they're down 3-0 to the 8th seed, the Florida Panthers, who they thought they'd have an easy way with.
I'm surprised we don't see Brian in here strutting his feathers about the Panthers. There's only one team that's left in it that would even remotely get me interested if they make it to the finals, but I'm tuning out until the Stanley Cup finals because there's just not a team that I care about that's in it. And it's just NHL is a sport to me that if you don't have a dog in the hunt or you don't hate a team, it's really hard to get into. Right now it's the Edmonton Oilers and the rest I could care less about. I'd like to see the Stars do well just because I've got a couple of friends that are Stars fans, but I don't really, I mean, it doesn't matter. Kraken versus Oilers. I mean, is that moving the dial in the Devils versus the Panthers? Is that moving the dial? These are some of the most insignificant franchises in sports.
Yeah, you're not kidding. They're like
Maple Leafs winning would have been and would have been fun, but they're down 3-0 now. So what's the point?
Exactly. What a golden opportunity they had, and they just squandered it again. The Florida Panthers are probably, as you said, one of the lowest, you know, populated franchises in all of major four sports, and they're about to be
Nashville Predators. Give me some Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
Give me. I'm not going to say. The original six. There's only a couple of the original six that really really hit the dial for me. That's the Rangers, the Blackhawks. Are the Maple Leafs an original six? They are. The Bruins.
It's one of those things, too. Like you said, if you don't
have a... It's the Florida Panthers' fault that we're getting incredibly bored by the hockey. Because they knocked out Boston, and then they're about to knock out Toronto. Okay, gotcha.
And I blame them for knocking out the Lightning, too, because the NHL...
It's not Tampa, and it's not Nashville. And I do tend to pull for the New York Islanders. Then I like to see teams in the hockey championship... In the Stanley Cup Finals, I like to see actual hockey cities.
Right.
Florida Panthers do not equate to that to me.
No.
I like to see Boston in there, New York, you know, Canadian squads. Seattle Kraken's not moving the dial for me one iota. You want to put a snore alert on? Give me the Kraken versus the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Finals. That is the definition of... If a championship happens, but no one saw it, did it really count? That is going to be the equivalent of the 2020 bubble ship in the NBA.
The Mickey Mouse bubble.
For different reasons, but no one's going to remember who won this championship.
Yeah, and we hit the original six spot on. Bruins, Hawks, Red Wings, Canadians, Rangers, Maple Leafs, and... Well, they're all getting buzzsawed or didn't even qualify for the playoffs. So at this point in time, as you said, no Predators, no Lightning, no original six. Whew.
I've just never been a Devils fan. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. It's Jersey. I mean, who cares, right? It's just one of those things. It's just like they feel like that they're the poor man's Rangers or Islanders to me. Like they just.
I agree with that. They're stuck in the middle. They're
bounced by the Canes, aren't they? Aren't the Hurricanes all over them?
Yep, they are all over them. And honestly, the West is a little more competitive than the East in the NHL. We're going to get the
Carolina Hurricanes versus the Florida Panthers and the Kraken versus what? Maybe the Oilers?
Yeah, it's looking like the Kraken, Kraken's up 2-1, I think. So looking like them and the Oilers and Knights are tied 1-1. So probably Kraken Oilers if you had to flip a coin right now.
Sure. You couldn't find a more irrelevant championship matchup on both sides.
I'm there with you, pretty much.
This is, I mean, like,
do we even know if, I know Seattle finally got a hockey team, but their hockey market can't be that deep.
No. They're, I bet half the city doesn't even know they're in the playoffs.
And Florida Panthers, no one even knows what city they play out of.
You get Carolina Hurricanes and Florida Panthers and Seattle Kraken and the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the championship of, you give those names to someone on the street, they're going to go, dude, I don't even watch the XFL. Why are you asking me about this? You're not going to know what sport you're talking about.
That's funny.
This is like the World Series ending up being, what's the worst? I guess the Tampa Bay Rays, but they've been pretty good over the last several years. So maybe that's a bad, I think I want to say Rays versus Pirates, but at least the Pirates have some kind of a, they have some kind of a, of an old school following, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is like, no, you know what this is like? This is like if the Colorado Rockies ended up in the National League for the World Series and they were going head to head with either Tampa Bay, and even though I'd be pulling for Tampa Bay and I'd watch it because it's the World Series, the Rays would be awful. If it's not Oakland. Tampa Bay, then we'll say like Minnesota Twins or
Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland. Give me, yes, yes. I always forget they exist because no one goes there. Give me Oakland versus the Colorado Rockies in the World Series. That's the equivalent of whatever the hell we're going to end up with in the, that's a perfect example.
I couldn't agree more. Oakland, it's easy to forget about him because their own fans don't even go to their games. So,
or what they're going to end up with in the NBA, which is Denver versus Miami.
Crazy. All around is just crazy. NBA trying to rig it against Jokic, too.
Don't the Panthers and the Heat, don't they share the arena or no?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
They used to years ago, but maybe that's changed.
I think they did years ago, but I want to say they the Florida Panthers play a little bit outside of Miami nowadays for whatever reason. I don't think that.
So nobody goes then.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think they had to be yanked from the Heat.
Like stadium. A Miami Hurricanes college football game. It's just like no one's there.
Exactly. I think they had to build them a smaller stadium to try and make it look more filled, but even that doesn't really get too filled.
I'll never forget that last year watching MTSU beat Miami on the football field and thinking to myself, dude, Middle Tennessee State has better home crowds than the Miami Hurricanes, and it's not even close.
That is crazy.
It was a pretty day that day. I remember it was like low 70s, beautiful right. Skies. There was no reason why you couldn't go to a college football game that day. Yeah. It was the middle of a Saturday afternoon. It wasn't like some weird time. Anyways, what is your lock of the day?
It might sound like a homer pick, but I'm going with the Chicago Cubs at home. You got Stroman on the bump. They're facing Miles Mikolas, who really hasn't done too much to this point. So give me the Cubs with Marcus Stroman. You could get them for -118 on the line. They're at home. It's going to be a chilly one. Wilson Contreras returns as well. So it'll be exciting to see.
All right, I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Brewers. They're at home against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Peralta, -119 at home against Gonsolin. And I think Milwaukee will take care of the Dodgers. They usually hit right-handers pretty well. And to get some runs out there in Peralta. I mean, I think this is wildly undervalued here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised Peralta at home versus Gonsolin and the Dodgers isn't like a -140, -145 type thing.
I agree.
I grabbed it this morning at -108. I could not believe how low it was.
Yeah, that's really good value to me too.
What is your walk-off, sir?
Little breaking news. Rays' Garrett Clevenger, a bullpen effective arm this year, ACL injury, out for the year. And for those interested in combat sports, UFC, great weekend. Aljamain Sterling, best bantamweight fighter now in the world. And for WWE, Bad Bunny took the scene, and he looked pretty good in a wrestling ring too. So overall, good weekend.
All right. My walk-off is, this might be a good night to – tell the wife, hey, let's watch a movie. Let's do a little something. Let's just put sports on the rest tonight, because there's really not that intriguing of a game. Obviously, in the NHL, my thoughts on that. There's nothing that's going to bring me to the TV early in the NBA per se. They're still midway through those series. Wake me up around game six, and the Braves are off. If I'm going to watch anything, it's probably going to be Baltimore, Tampa Bay, but. I think I'll have that on mute and try to clean out the DVR for once. So y'all have a great night. Keep it locked in here on The Key. We'll see Braves Country HD right here on YouTube tomorrow, 3 to 5, and then 7:20 first pitch. And Tones will be with us on Wednesday. We got a 2-game series against those Boo Sox, and Timus will be here tomorrow. No, Timus will be here Wednesday to talk about the Boo Sox. We'll see. Woo-hoo.
Goodbye, sweetheart, well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Ha! Ha!
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.